Dear listeners, welcome to the podcast of the European Reference Network GuardHeart, the ERN of rare and complex heart diseases in both adult and pediatric patients across the European Union. Today, I have one guest. It's Professor Carlo Napolitano, cardiologist and main representative of IRCCS Clinical and Scientific Institute Maugheri in Pavia, Italy. Welcome, Carlo. Can you tell us briefly about your city, Pavia?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. And I'm very glad to be here and to be able to describe to you which are our activities. And starting from the city, Pavia is a relatively small city south from Milan. Pavia is about 100,000 inhabitants, but the number of inhabitants is actually very dependent on the university rhythm, in the sense that close to half of the population is made actually by students attended University of Pavia. Indeed, the University of Pavia is probably one of the world's oldest academic institutions. Just to make a little bit of history, since the 9th century, a higher education institute was founded by King Lothario, which is the son of Charles Martel. And so the University of Pavia was officially established in 1361. So it's actually one of the oldest universities in Europe. And over the years, there were a number of very famous alumni in University of Pavia, including Christopher Columbus. They actually had an education here at University of Pavia, Alessandro Volta, just to cite some of those, Camillo Golgi and Carlo Rubbia, all have been graduated at University of Pavia. Today, the university is very strong in mathematics, physics, and probably medicine. And basically, the entire city is organized around the university here in Pavia, and there are a lot of institutes for different disciplines. And yeah, it's a nice place to work, actually, even if personally I live in Milan, so I commute back and forth. It's very close to Milan, actually. It's about 30 minutes drive.
Thank you. And can you tell us something about your hospital and what is the main focus?
Yeah, our group, which is led by Professor Silvia Priori, is based at the Scientific and Clinical Institute Maugheri, which is an hospital which is has this definition of IRCCS, which is for the Italian legislation is a hospital which is specifically devoted to research. And basically, we receive funds based on our research productivity that is assessed on an yearly basis. So within our endpoints and our goals, there is also that for research beside, of course, healthcare for patients. So the institute is also affiliated with the University of Pavia. And here there are several faculties of the university, Pavia School of Medicine, who have their main clinical activity. Indeed, besides cardiology, this institution is well known for rehabilitation, pneumology, endocrinology, and oncology. We have about 450 beds. And the institute is also one of the branches where the students for medicine receive their training, and also students for the School of Cardiology of the University of Pavia, which is directed by Silvia Priori, and is one of the largest schools of cardiology in the country. As far as our specific activity, Silvia Priori and myself established these clinics for inherited arrhythmogenic diseases back in 1998 when we moved from the University of Milan. And initially, in the early years, our main focus were actually inherited arrhythmias and sudden death in the structurally normal hearts. So this is the main initial focus. Then we established epidemiological databases for long QT syndrome, Brugada, CPVT, short QT syndrome. And more recently, we have also established a program for cardiomyopathy. Over the years, we made some probably interesting observation. We developed the use of mexiletine in long QT3, starting with the experimental works we made in the 90s. And we do also have a dedicated laboratory for genetic testing. So we do our own genetic testing. And so biologists and clinicians works in close collaboration and partnership for the interpretation of the results of genetic testings, which it's a well-known problem, especially nowadays, that there is a progressively larger use of next-generation sequences that have generated a larger access for patient to genetic testing, but of course, a lot of problem in interpretation of the results of genetic testing. And our group also have an experimental research program in the field of cellular electrophysiology, transgenic model, and more therapy. And more recently, we have started a program for developing of gene therapy approaches for the most severe inherited arrhythmias, such as CPVT and Timothy syndrome. We do also have a very large clinic. Ferrar will approximately between 2,500 to 3,000 clinical visits every year, and the patient come here from all over the country.
Thank you, Carlo. That was a very nice overview. And then something about the ERN. Why did you become a member of the ERN and in which thematic areas?
Yeah, we actually became a member from the early beginning when this initiative from the European Community took off. So at that time, we decided that was a very interesting initiative, and because we felt that there was a really compelling need for a stronger integration at the European level to spread the knowledge and to provide consultation for doctor and hospital with less experience. We do actually still believe that this is a very important initiative because the European environment is really still very heterogeneous. And so we do really believe that this kind of initiative can help a lot in homogenizing the protocols and the clinical approaches to patients.
Thank you, Carlo. What can you contribute to the ERN?
We think perhaps that the Well, in Europe, there are a few very large referral centers like the one in Amsterdam, ourselves, and in Germany from Eric. And I personally, at least, I think that the role for the largest referral center in Europe within the ERN is really that of providing innovative research, but also coordinating the production of guidelines, protocol for patient management. We do also think that the network and availability to provide consultation is also very important. Indeed, I think at least that the ERN philosophy is really that of supporting the smaller center to improve the skills in treating patients with rare diseases and also to avoid for the patient themselves the need for long and distressful journey all over the Europe to find centers where they can really have best cures and treatments. The second, probably very important objective is that of patient education. In our center, in this context of ERN philosophy, we do organize periodically patient meetings on special issues. Just for an example, we just organized last October a meeting with CPVT patients in which we discussed the role of ICD and the perspective for the introduction of novel therapies, including gene therapies for the recessive variants. So, actually, I do think that the contribution could be this one in helping to create really and improve the expertise also for the countries in which there are no really large referral centers. Of course, there are hurdles in this path because the national healthcare system and the reimbursement schemes are very heterogeneous all over the Europe. So we do need to work on the clinical side, but probably also on the political side to try to homogenize protocol and reimbursements and patient care all over the Europe.
Yes, thank you. And on the other side, probably you have also some expectations, of course. And what do you expect from the ERN?
Yes, ERN is a very big organization and is growing bigger. So probably the role of this network is multiple, actually. If I have to speak about my direct clinical experience, role of ERN beside the institutional role, probably a role that has not been very much discussed is that of helping in supporting the to the maintenance of supply of orphan drugs. You know, the issue of orphan drugs is very important in the inherited arrhythmogenic disorders. And I am referring specifically to quinidine, mexiletine, nadolor, that are often considered in several countries at least poorly remunerative drugs from the pharma companies. And these drugs are always in danger of being abandoned by drug companies and dismissed. I think that it's important that ERN may act in conjunction with the national regulatory to enforce the need that these drugs are freely available to all the patients, because in several instances, we have strong problems in helping patients to receive the appropriate treatment. Of course, ERN could also play a very central role as provider of online consultation for doctors in difficult cases. And last but not least, of course, the homogenization of clinical protocols is also very important because the approach to the patients may vary a lot, at least in my experience, among countries. And so this is probably an important contribution that ERN may provide to the community in Europe.
Yes, thanks for this. It's indeed very important and so good to hear all this from you. Furthermore, I have some personal questions as well to get to get to know a little bit better. And everyone is, of course, very interested of where did you train and who was your most important mentor?
Okay, thank you for the question. Actually, I trained in Milan with Professor Zronchetti and with Peter Schwartz, and I started as a student in 1986. A few years later, I started a partnership with Silvia Priori, which still continues as of today. I had my regular cardiology training, but I also trained as a basic scientist. I had a training in Washington University in St. Louis and at the University of Florida for cellular electrophysiology and different animal models of arrhythmias and ventricular tachycardia. I also have a training in molecular biology. Actually, I trained 2 years at the National Institute for Genetics and Medicine, when I learned to do molecular analysis by myself, including DNA sequencing, linked analysis, that in the 90s was very important to be able to establish our own activity as a referral center. I have a PhD in molecular pathophysiology. I did a thesis on the triggered activity during reperfusion of myocardial infarction. And I also have a training as a clinical electrophysiologist.
That's quite a lot. Thank you. Can you tell us about the most important lesson learned?
Well, okay, this is a difficult question because, of course, there are several lessons that over a long career you learn. But in the field of the focus of today's podcast, so which is the focus of our main activity on inherited arrhythmias, probably one important lesson is the complexity of genotype-phenotype correlation in these diseases. And I've learned this correlation are probably much more intricate than we thought at the initial stages. If we go back in the early 90s, when the Long-QT syndrome genes were first identified, we thought that, the field is done. We have no other things to learn. We can genotype, we can restratify our patient. But then we start learning that actually there is an incredible amount of variability. We need to understand still this correlation in order to really develop more specific therapy. I think that we also learn an important lesson that if from one end it is true that the prevalence of genetic diseases of the heart is larger than we thought a couple of decades ago, it is also true that their penetrance is much less than we thought. And I think we have now to face this problem of understanding which is the appropriate management for low-risk patient, which is far from being established. There are many patients that we now diagnose only through genetic testing that would never have been diagnosed 15 or 20 years ago. And I think we should find ways of being sure that we are not really over-treating or and over-diagnosing our patient. This could be a very important contribution of ERN, establishing more spread knowledge about the possible differences in clinical manifestation of these diseases.
Thank you, Carlo. Then I have to finish. I have two personal questions. What is your favorite sport and what is your favorite holiday destination. Can you
Okay.
tell us something about it?
Yeah, of course. I am originally from a small village in the Alps, so mountaineering, skiing, and climbing are my favorite sport that I used to do much more when I was younger, but still I do enjoy in doing when I have time. And my favorite holiday destination is actually very simple. I have a small cottage which is located in a very remote area of the Südtirol Alps. And whenever I can, I go there to relax, to do my favorite outdoor activity, and to study, of course, because being very hardly and heavily involved in clinical activity, especially in the last few years, I need to find some time to study and to think about which could be the future directions of the research in this field.
Thank you, Carlo. It's very nice to hear all this, and you have a very nice place, I think, there in your cottage. Thank you for answering our questions, and also thanks to our listeners, of course, for listening to today's podcast. And we hope to meet you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.